We'll take our Bibles and turn with me in them to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. And we'll read this evening verses 1 through 20. 1 through 20 of chapter 14 in 1 Kings. Beloved, hear now God's holy and inerrant, infallible word. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise now and disguise yourself so that they will not know that you are the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah the prophet is there, who spoke concerning me, that I would be king over this people. Take 10 loaves with you, some cakes and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, came to the house of Ahijah. Now Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim because of his age. Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he is sick. You shall say thus and thus to her, for it will be when she arrives that she will pretend to be another woman." When Ahijah heard the sound of her feet coming in the doorway, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another woman? For I have sent to you with a harsh message. Go, say to Jeroboam, 'Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you leader over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only that which was right in my sight. You also have done more evil than all who were before you and have gone and made for yourself other gods and molten images, to provoke me to anger and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I am bringing calamity on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male person, both bond and free in Israel, and I will make a clean sweep of the house of Jeroboam as one sweeps away dung until it is all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs will eat, and he who dies in the fields, the birds of the heavens will eat, for the Lord has spoken it. Now you, arise, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child will die. All Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he alone of Jeroboam's family will come to the grave, because in him something good was found toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who will cut off the house of Jeroboam this day and from now on. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he will uproot Israel from the good land, from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the Euphrates River, because they have made their Asherim, provoking the Lord to anger. He will give up Israel on account of the sins of Jeroboam, which he committed and with which he made Israel to sin." Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. As she was entering the threshold of the house, the child died. All Israel buried him and mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles, the kings of Israel. The time that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, and he slept with his fathers. And Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. And that is God's word. So remember what we've seen. Jeroboam has ignored Yahweh's rebuke of his false worship, and we find that his son has become seriously ill. Jeroboam wants word from Yahweh's prophet on whether his son will live, what will happen to his son, whether he will recover, and he sends his wife disguised to this prophet Ahijah, and the Lord won't know that this, as if the Lord won't know that this is a request of Jeroboam, the hypocrite, false worshiper. And yet God's word exposes the king's trickery. Back in chapter 11, it was Ahijah the prophet who had admonished Jeroboam to function according to the Davidic standard. But he has not done so. He has gone on and gone his own way, and he's led Israel, the northern kingdom, in false worship with the double golden calf cult, somewhat successful so far in maybe man's sight, and yet even one altar was destroyed so far. And this was good in his sight to send his wife disguised, because we see verse 4 that Ahijah probably could be fooled. Ahijah himself could be fooled. Verse 4, he was blind, or at least almost blind. He can't see well. But Ahijah the prophet didn't need eyes to see the reality of this trickery, because Yahweh comes to him, because he is the Lord's prophet. And Ahijah tells him who, why, what, and how of the Jeroboam's wife, of her coming. And you see, Jeroboam, like many of us, like us many times, forgot that every time we deal with the Word of God, we are actually dealing with the God of the Word. Every time. The Word of God is not some exterior thing or extraneous object out there for us to squeeze to our liking. It is the very breath of God. He always never detached from His Word. Our lives cannot be like Jeroboam, who only seeks God's Word when he's in trouble, when his son's sick. We must strive to live our lives according to the Word of God every moment of every day in Christ Jesus. And we cannot only desire the Word occasionally, because when that happens, the Word comes very severely and attacks the idolatry. You notice that even though Jeroboam is trying to take Israel in his own direction, the Lord comes in verse 7 and he says, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel." Who's the God of Israel? It's not Jeroboam. It is Yahweh. And he comes. And what we see in verses 7 through 11 is that Jeroboam, we know, has sinned against God's grace. Yahweh has raised him up. He made him a leader. He tore the kingdom from David's house and gave it to Jeroboam. But Jeroboam sinned and despised Yahweh's goodness to him by making other gods and molten images, which Yahweh is provoked to anger. Why anger? It says there, because Jeroboam cast Yahweh behind his back. He broke covenant with the Lord. So there are only two options for us and for God's people. Either you seek His face, or you face His fury. And Jeroboam, because he did not seek the face of the Lord, is facing His fury. Our God is an intolerant God. And you can't escape this by running to the New Testament, because we've seen in John and Jesus speaking, He was not a tolerant God. Yahweh, through His Word, sends His curse. And it's pronounced, verses 12 through 18. Jeroboam's son will die. And that's fulfilled in verses 17 and 18. Jeroboam's dynasty, that his house reigning over Israel, that will be destroyed. And that's fulfilled in chapter 15. And the northern kingdom will be destroyed itself. It will go into exile. It will be dispersed among the nations that surround it. And that is fulfilled in 2 Kings chapter 17. So all of God's promises here come to fruition. He's faithful again to His promises, even curses, promises of curses. And the curse here of one man condemns the whole people for approximately 180 years. And so there we learn here that there is a high responsibility of those who are in leadership in the world, in the nation, in the state, in the home, in the church. And then the last two verses, we see the common summary statement that if we continue on, if we were to glance down, we got these lists of kings that come from the northern and southern kingdoms, and they all have these summary statements of their lives, the kind of the unimportant things that aren't important to God's, that for God to give to us in His Word. He kind of makes a little summary statement of what they did and where they can find that information. And what we find here is that very unimpressive are Jeroboam's accomplishments, and that those accomplishments mean very little, and that fidelity means a lot, and there was none of that. The one thing that mattered is worshiping of Yahweh according to Yahweh's Word. That's where he failed. What is it if at the end of your life, if the obituary is written for you, if someone summarized your life and it has nothing to do with the love of God or worshiping Him in it? You have wasted your life and it would have resulted in nothing but death. And so we're called here to let that not be your life. You're called here to live for Yahweh. As He is faithful to you, you are to remain faithful to Him through His Word, and not to neglect the Word, but to uphold it according to His, what He says, and according and in strength given by the Holy Spirit and the ability given by the Holy Spirit to you. As we consider these things, let's pray to our God. Our Father, we come to You as sinners. We are, apart from You, we are just like Jeroboam. For some of us, we can remember years ago when we did not know You. And we worshipped our own way. We worshipped the things of this world, just as Jeroboam led Israel to do, and worshipping gold and images. And Father, we have, as even as Your people, have continually done this as well. Maybe not in external ways, maybe not as some would be able to see, but we know in our hearts and in our minds we continue to commit these sins. Sins of the first and second, third and fourth commandments. We have not loved You as we ought to have. We have loved the things of this world. We've loved ourselves more. We've loved our position more, like Jeroboam, not wanting to lose that position. And so we go about keeping that position in the way that we think best, instead of the way You call us to live, according to Your Word and according to holiness. Father, we ask that You would rebuke us of our sin, but that You would refrain from cursing us, that You would be merciful to us, and turn us from our sin. By Your grace, that You would deliver us from our sin in Your Son. And that as You look upon us, You would see the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our wickedness. That You would stir up our hearts, that we would even be guarded against following after leaders who attempt to lead their people into sin and wickedness, as Jeroboam did. That we would love You more than men, more than family, more than brothers and sisters, that You would have the first place in our hearts and our minds. And You would send Your Spirit and equip us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and to do those good works which You have predestined beforehand for us to walk in. So Lord, forgive us of our sin. And cleanse us as far as the east is from the west, knowing that You, in Your Son, You give us the great promise. The great promise that if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us. And cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, do it. And cause us in faith to pray that together. Lord, hear our prayers. And be exalted. Be glorified, be worshipped according to Your Word as we continue in our worship now. And Lord, keep us from error and false worship. Lord, be merciful, for we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.